Hello, everyone. This is David Douthat.
And this is Molly Douthat.
And welcome to More Than Hearing, a podcast to encourage preachers to use multiple intelligences in sermons and worship leadership, because there are plenty of ways to reach someone's soul.
Today's podcast covers the lectionary readings for Year C, Ordinary 31. The Old Testament lesson from Habakkuk is a lot of woe with a tiny light of hope at the end. The Thessalonians are also hard-pressed, but are showing faithfulness. And in Luke, we see Zacchaeus scampering up a sycamore tree to see Jesus. Let's find out how we can be faithful with these texts.
We have established this podcast based on Dr. Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences. Dr. Gardner suggests that there are multiple ways to learn, process, remember, and understand our world. Each week, we develop illustrations and special effects for the weekly readings of the Revised Common Lectionary that use various smarts based on Dr. Gardner's identified intelligences. We call them word smart, eye smart, math smart, body smart, music smart, nature smart, people smart, and self smart. You can read more about Dr. Gardner's work by clicking on the link at the top of our webpage.
As we read and reflect on the scripture passages for each week, we explore ways these intelligences can be utilized for a deeper appreciation of God's Word. Anytime and any way we can make use of the different smarts, we give people greater access to the Word of God so that they can acquire it, process it, and internalize it in ways that make sense to them. Let's get started.
The Old Testament lesson for Year C, Ordinary 31, is Habakkuk, or Habakkuk, or Habakkuk, however you want to say that.
Pick a syllable.
Chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Ordinarily, we would say, oh, take all the stuff in the middle too, but there's a good bit of material there. What seems to be happening here is that in the first chapter, the prophet is looking at the destruction and violence that has happened to Judah at the hand of the Babylonians, or is about to, and is really upset about that and doesn't want to be seeing all of that, and sees injustice and violence and just doesn't understand why, and is calling out to the Lord for help. And then in chapter 2, He waits for God's response, and God does eventually respond in a way that, well, in this text anyway, it's not a super powerful response, but but it's some light at the end of the tunnel. And
which sometimes is better than nothing.
Yeah, sometimes that's all we have. So if you read the whole book, which is all of, what, three chapters?
Yeah.
You get a better sense of it. But these two chunks are good introductions for the woe that the prophet is feeling in chapter 1 and the hope that God offers in chapter 2. That's what we've got going on here. Each week we give you, for each text, what we think is the primary expressed intelligence, or the one that shows up in the text that is most obvious among the possible eight intelligences, that just kind of jumps out at us. Then we look at that, and then we have a way of thinking about, oh, well, which one doesn't pop out? And we go looking at those other intelligences from there. For this text, Molly and I agree that we think that this is
people
smart. And you can check our show notes at morethanhearing.org to find out more about why we think that is true. Having done that, then we came up with a variety of other things for you. So we have word smart illustration and special effect, eye smart illustration and special effect, and then illustrations for body smart, music smart, people smart, and self smart. So Molly's going to start us off with word smart.
Okay. The images in the text that bring about these illustrations and special effects. Well, the second verse for the first chapter is the prophet's cry for help. It's a loud cry. It's a persistent cry. And a good way to illustrate that is a baby on an airplane. It's everybody hears it. Everybody wants to do something about it.
They have different ideas about what
exactly,
that should be.
Right, right. But you just hear the baby crying. So that's a good way of illustrating that. The second image is chapter 2, verse 2, where God says he's going to give a word to Habakkuk, and he wants it to write them down and write it in letters that are so large that somebody running by would be able to see it. So that made me think of the political yard signs that are out all over the place in the United States these days. Mm-hmm. Or billboards on a highway, those great huge signs that you're driving along and you see the advertisement up there. So those are ways of illustrating that. A special effect that can come out of that particular verse is to make a banner or a poster.
Or several.
Yeah. Come up with some slogans, come up with some ideas that stem from these particular verses, like live by faith or some such thing. And then, you know, have them up there for people to see.
Yeah. Wait for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, that would be an interesting conversation starter. Yeah. Wait for what?
Yeah. For iSmart, we're taking a look at chapter 1 in particular, verses 3 and 4. In verse 3, it says, why do you make me see wrongdoing? And here, God doesn't give you a trigger warning. It's just life is coming at you, and there it is, and you end up seeing it. Sorry, Habakkuk, but that's the way it works. It's like having 24/7 coverage of war. And
no way
and that's
away
all
from
there
it.
Is on the air.
Yep.
A more whimsical way of thinking about why do you make me see wrongdoing is, you know, imagining seeing your grandfather in a Speedo. Okay, I can't unsee that, right?
Right.
Okay.
Why are you making me see wrongdoing?
And then chapter 1, verse 4 is judgment comes forth perverted. And we're thinking about how that the sense of extrusion and the thing being pressed out and squished. So we got to thinking about Play-Doh or cake decorating icing and how that gets squeezed out into unusual shapes.
Right.
That's for a special effect. You could make use of either of those techniques and have a Play-Doh press and squish stuff out, and how you might be expecting one shape and you get another would be another way of thinking about that.
Right. So for Body Smart, we're looking at verse 4 in the first chapter. The law becomes slack and justice never prevails. This is a litany of the woes that Habakkuk has about what's happening. Becoming slack, an illustration for that, for Body Smart, you can think of like somebody who used to be an athlete but who's gotten out of shape and is gotten older and just doesn't have the tone anymore.
Hmm.
Or
Mr. Incredible.
Mr. Incredible. Oh, yeah. There you go. That's a good one. Ooh, nice. I like that.
Yeah, thanks.
Also, the second part of that verse, the wicked surround the righteous, if it's an illustration, you can think about what it's like being one of a body in a crowd of bodies, like at a parade or a political rally or a game of some sort or a concert where you're just pressed in by everybody. The people around you aren't necessarily wicked, but that's the experience of being surrounded.
Brief illustration for Music Smart, thinking about the verse early on there, verse 2 in chapter 1, I cry for help, but I don't get any response. And that made me think of the Beatles song, Help. Also, these two chapters work as sort of two movements in a piece, the dark, dreadful first movement and then the dawning light in the second movement. And you can sort of hear Beethoven doing something with that. Going on to PeopleSmart and looking still at verse 4 in chapter 1, but the second part of it, so that's the wicked surround the righteous. And I was thinking of a bully or a gang of bullies beating up on some poor helpless schlub, and or an older sibling beating up on a younger sibling and doing that thing, you know, making him hit himself. And why are you hitting yourself? Stop hitting yourself. Stop hitting yourself. And then going on to chapter 2 in verse 3, where it says, if it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come and not delay. And an illustration there would be from the movie The Princess Bride, where the Princess Buttercup is waiting for her Wesley to come and save her. And all the way through, she's saying, Wesley will come, Wesley will come.
Right.
And eventually he does, just not when she was expecting.
Exactly. Huh, that sounds familiar.
It does. And then the last bit of that in chapter 2, verse 4, is God's bit of hope. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous live by their faith. This made us think of long-term relationships, marriages, friendships, parents and children, siblings, that the lasting relationships are the ones that are based on trust. And even as the wedding vows say, for better or for worse, mm-hmm. you're stuck with each other and you stick it out.
You've chosen each other and you're going to stick it out.
That's what I meant.
Right.
That's exactly what I meant.
I know that's what you meant. I had no doubt at all. So for the last one, for self-smart, we're looking at chapter 2, verse 1, and the prophet standing on the ramparts, watching, waiting to see what God is, how God will respond. It made me think of guard duty, and guard duty that doesn't happen behind a desk, you know, with all the TV cameras and things set up, but somebody who's actually out there watching on the ramparts, walking patrol, looking for something. Okay, let's go on. The New Testament lesson for Year C, Ordinary 31, is from 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and then skipping down to 11 through 12. The lectionary cuts out verses 5 through 10 in this particular section because they are a little bloodthirsty. There's a great deal of looking for God to beat up on enemies and give us our just reward. We've decided to leave it in because from verse 3 through 12, in the original Greek, this whole idea, this whole section in here is one complete sentence, one complete idea.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know. English teachers everywhere rising up gang. No. The reason it is one complete idea and thought is because Paul and his co-workers are giving thanks to God for the Thessalonians, for their faith, because it's growing abundantly. The love they have for each other, it's increasing. And it is doing this in large part because of the hard-pressed persecution that they are suffering that is spoken of so vividly in verses 5 through 10, which you don't get a sense of if you jump down to 11. So if you look at verses 5 through 10, you get a reason why the Thessalonians' persistent faith and their continued faith and love for one another is so remarkable and why Paul would be willing to boast about them.
Mm-hmm.
So we recommend keeping it in. Just yep. for the context and just for the richness and the depth of this particular passage. Now, our primary expressed intelligence that David has spoken of already, mine may change by the time we get to the show notes. I said it was self, and David said it was.
I think it's people smart.
Read about that when you get to our show notes at morethanhearing.org. In the meantime, we have illustrations and special effects for word smart, a special effect for iSmart, illustrations for math and body smart, illustration and special effects for nature and people smart, and a special effect for self smart. So we're going to start off with word. Go for it, honey.
Okay. In verse 12, it says, the name of our Lord Jesus is being glorified in you. And so thinking about ways that someone's name is lifted up or glorified through adoption and getting married and becoming part of a new family, being inducted into an honor society, being named in a Who's Who publication, or having Jesus call you friend.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Then also, Paul talks about boasting about the Thessalonian church in verse 4. So for a special effect, just ask someone about their grandkids. How are your grandkids doing? And and be prepared to spend some time with that. Then throughout the passage there, and particularly in that middle section, there are a lot of words about suffering and what the Thessalonians are going through. So for another Word Smart special effect, make a poster where you have all the suffering words prepared on different cards or something, or
post-it
printed
or something.
Printed on strips with adhesive or something, so you can add them as you go along.
Like a banner or a poster?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so you have persecutions, affliction, suffering, afflict, vengeance, punishment, destruction, and you put all of those up. And then have another set of words that are the fruit of the Thessalonians' hopeful endurance. Mm-hmm. So faith, love, steadfastness, enduring, worthy, and resolve. And have those in a different color.
Ooh.
And then adhere them over the top of the other ones.
Ooh.
So
I like that. A similar arts and craft project can be found in iSmart, based on chapter 1, verse 3, about giving thanks to God. This comes from Amy Loving at The Worship Closet. She suggests handing out paper leaves to the congregation and ask them to write on them things or people for which they're grateful. And then using paper clips or clothespins or something, attach them to string or twine and then hang it in your worship space. So it's kind of a garland almost. You put it over the door and people will see it as they go in and out.
Or up the aisle.
Or up the aisle. Oh, hey, there you go. Or you could use double-sided tape and attach them to a banner, kind of doing what David did with the word smart.
It also has some flavors of people smart and self smart.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
For math smart, we're going to have to look this one up. As we're recording, we are on vacation, actually, and lacking internet. So couldn't look up the particulars for this. But
we're getting a lot done, though.
Calling back on my days in engineering school, I was thinking about stress versus strain curves. And this is a way of charting the physical properties of materials under different pressures and deformations and such, and seeing how they deform under
And how they hold up.
Under stress.
What's the breaking point?
Right, exactly. Yeah. And so you get some interesting curves for different materials. And and nowadays, with composite materials, they're able to design the material with particular properties so that they can even become stronger as they experience greater stress. And that seems to be what's happening for the Thessalonian church, that they are producing greater love and faithfulness.
Because they're hard pressed.
As they are being harder pressed, So you can look that up, and we'll try and look it up and have some links for you by the time we get this done. But if not, ask your local materials engineer for a little help and guidance on that.
For Body Smart, we have an illustration about enduring persecutions. And apart from the literal, which would be a fair enough illustration, and you just how it feels in your body to be pressed all the time.
Persecuted.
Think of the strong man from the carnivals of yore. The demonstration of having heavy weights laid on his chest or his stomach, maybe even as he's lying on a bed of nails. So being hard pressed, that physical sensation there and seeing that.
And he's always smiling. And
keep doing it. This is nothing. This is nothing. Yeah.
For Nature Smart, you can think again about pressing. And we got to thinking about the good things that come from hard pressing of different kinds of fruits. So you get wine or grape juice from grapes, obviously. You get cider from apples. You get oil from olives. And so you get this a lovely product that comes from the crushing of the fruit. So the bad news about that is the fruit gets crushed. But so it's altered from its original state, and you won't be getting those apples to eat at the grocery store or whatever. But they do produce a very useful and flavorful product, and the master's desire for them is achieved. So you have that going on.
Right.
So for a special effect, assuming you don't have a
wine
cider
press
or a wine press, you might have a coffee grinder, though. And so you could get some coffee beans and a coffee grinder and show off the beans to the congregation. And, oh, yes, there they are. And then dump them in your grinder and grind them up and then show the grounds and say, now, look, if you try and make coffee with just the beans, you're not going to get a very good cup. You're going to get, you know, hot bean water. So you have to have the
you will.
They have to go through that process.
Why are we drinking this?
You have to go through that process of grinding in order for them to be useful to make a good cup of coffee.
And for people smart, we have an illustration of the middle section there, those verses that got cut out, of being like a part of a crowd at a sporting event, watching your underdog team catch a break that changes the momentum of the game. Mm. Or being like a Great Britain waiting for the United States to enter World War II. You know, they slogged along for quite a while before we finally got into it. And when we showed up, it was almost, you know, like the cavalry showing up.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
except they were probably, where have you been?
Exactly. A special effect for people, it would be ask your congregation to consider people in your community who are hard-pressed and need a word of encouragement and assurance. What would you say to them? And how might you think that word might be received by them? And then again, the people smart, as you're writing words of thanksgiving, if you're going to use that garland idea, you're thinking about people in your past who have been...
Or present.
You're right. Good. There you go. Who are offering you words of encouragement or assurance.
For self-smart, again, in that middle section about vengeance, the vengeance of the Lord at Jesus appearing. Well, let's face it. We all long for that. We want to see the bad guy get it in the end. And we see that all the time in movies. I mean, you think about some of the big blockbusters, Avengers, where Loki...
Incredible Hulk.
Loki gets... Loki. Yeah, smashes around. Yeah.
Puny God.
Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know, the Nazis get it in the end. Any Kung Fu movie that you ever see, pretty much.
Totally.
And every Disney movie. That you never want to see, right? Right? The bad guy gets it in the end. And we cheer when the bully gets his comeuppance. Maybe that's a good reason for us not to take those verses out because, we want to see that happen. So we might as well be honest about it.
Exactly.
Okay, let's go on. The gospel lesson for Year C, Ordinary 31, is Luke 19, verses 1 through 10, the very familiar story of Jesus and Zacchaeus. So hardly need to say much about that, probably. Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector, seeking to see Jesus, can't see him. Jesus comes and finds him. They have lunch. It turns out great. So, for the primary expressed intelligence, Molly and I both agree that...
No, we don't. I think it's body.
What?
Oh. Yeah, you're going to have to go look and find out why.
Okay.
threw you, didn't I?
Well, yes. Okay. I think it's people. So besides that, we have an iSmart illustration, MathSmart illustration, BodySmart illustration and special effect, NatureSmart illustration, and illustration and special effect for both people and self. So Molly's going to start us off with iSmart.
We're looking at verse 3, where Zacchaeus is trying to see Jesus. He's a seeker. And so he needs to run up and get into a tree and hang from a tree. And the illustration with this is that there was a Jewish understanding that anyone who hung from a tree was cursed. And in just a very short while, Jesus himself, the one who sees Zacchaeus hanging from the tree, will be hanging from a tree.
Mm.
Which also got me to thinking about times in our own culture where people hung from a tree, which happened very frequently with lynchings. And sometimes, very oftentimes, those people were innocent as well. Zacchaeus' name means clean and innocent. Jesus was innocent of what he was charged of. Very often, the people who were lynched were people who were just minding their own business. Mm-hmm. So there's a sense of this hanging from the tree, those who were cursed hanging from a tree, where this is just kind of a twist.
Ugly thing that happens with crowds.
Yeah.
And mobs.
Yeah. Very much so. Very much so. It's a distortion.
Yeah.
So we're offering that. That may be kind of a challenge, but if you feel bold, give it a try. And if you do it, please let us know what happened with it, how it turned out.
For MathSmart, we have a couple things here. Just for starters, as Zacchaeus is making his confession to Jesus, he tells that he is going to give half, either is going to or does give half of his possessions to the poor. So invite your congregation to do a rough figure now, and then when they get home, to do a closer calculation of their net worth. And what would half of your possessions actually work out to be? And think about what that would be like to give that away to the poor.
Wow.
Yeah.
We might be surprised that it could be more than we think it is.
Indeed.
Oh.
Indeed. So the other part of this is that there's kind of a logical twist in the story. And actually, we found that there might be a double twist. Now, it's a twist in what the crowd is expecting, because Jesus, whom they're longing to see, doesn't stick around to see the crowd. He goes to the one that they exclude. So Jesus going to see the chief tax collector and a sinner, according to the crowd,
makes them grumble.
Makes them grumble. And that's kind of a twist. They don't expect that. The other thing, though, is that in the text, in the Greek again, what Zacchaeus says looks to be more in the present tense than in the future tense, as if he is explaining to Jesus what he already does. Look, I give half my possessions to the poor. If I defraud anyone, I pay it back four times. So it's possible that this is not something that he's having a moment of repentance. It may be he's having a moment of revelation, and we read that in the commentary that it was put that way.
Yeah, this is a story of revelation, not of repentance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have to look up the source for that and
okay.
give them credit for that idea. But
I think it was Beverly Caventa.
Okay. So if that's the case, then the salvation that Jesus is referring to may be not for Zacchaeus, except that Zacchaeus is acting in a righteous way. It may be that Zacchaeus' witness to the crowd is where the salvation might happen. And so that's a real twist on how we have always understood the story.
Right. So it isn't that salvation has come to this house, Zacchaeus' house, but that salvation
comes by.
comes from this house.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Fascinating. For Body Smart, for illustrations, we're thinking about Zacchaeus being small. And so for an illustration, have your congregation remember a time when they were small enough to climb up on the furniture. Talk about how that world was different from the world in which they now live. You know, rooms are a lot smaller. Places are a lot smaller. Things are a lot closer together than when you were a little person. And it does. Hopefully it doesn't take as much energy to get up onto the couch.
Maybe up from the couch.
The couch. Right, exactly. So how did or how does your size affect your sense of power and of being in the world? Also, we have a quote that talks about this from Rabbi Harold Kushner, who says, when you carry out acts of kindness, which is one of the things that Zacchaeus was doing, when you carry out acts of kindness, you get a wonderful feeling inside. It's as though something inside your body responds and says, yes, this is how I ought to feel. And then finally, as an illustration, talk about your size on the outside, how that affects what people think about you, at least at first, and maybe what they come to expect of you because of your size. So coming out of that, a special effect, this could be kind of a challenge. Take pictures of your people. If you've already got pictures of them, like from a directory or something, get those pictures, have them in hand, and have them to hand out to everybody, their own picture. And ask them to look at themselves and decide what it is their body would tell people about them. So put yourself in someone else's shoes and say, I see this body, I know this about this person. Or what they tell themselves based on what they see in this body. Now, this one can be rolled over into people smart by having people talk with each other about how they answered. And it's also a pretty good self-smart special effect as well. So like I said, kind of a challenge. You're touching on some deep stuff.
For Nature Smart, there's an awful lot of movement in this story, and that's kind of an iSmart for the spatial relations there. But in terms of the flow of it, the image that came to mind was, imagine a river flowing downstream only to make a sudden stop in one place and to swirl around a point. And that seems to be what it is with Jesus moving through Jericho to stop and stay with Zacchaeus. Another natural image here is that both Zacchaeus and Jesus are seeking here, and they're looking to plant somewhere. Zacchaeus seems to be unsatisfied with his life and looking to replant, in a sense. So, and Jesus is looking to plant the kingdom of God along the way. So we've got plants that send out seeker vines, like a forsythia plant. It grows up and it's rooted, but it also sends some of its branches down into the ground outside its root ball and starts a new plant over there. Mm-hmm. And or a spider plant is another one that does that sort of thing. Sends out those suckers and shoots and starts a new plant somewhere else.
For a people illustration, the idea in verse 3 and verse 7 of a wall of people and then in verse 7 a grumbling crowd, an illustration could be, you know, just the Peanuts gang standing around Charlie Brown, maybe like at a Charlie Brown Christmas when, you know, they've got that little tiny weepy Christmas tree and people are just looking at, you're such a blockhead, you know, that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
For a special effect, we actually have a reader's theater that uses Zacchaeus, and so we will have that posted in our resources.
It's a great passage for that.
Yep.
For Self-Smart, looking at this conversion or confession for Zacchaeus, some of the commentaries that we were reading said that this passage is really a reflection of so many of the different stories that show up in the Gospel of Luke in the preceding chapters. And one of those would have been in chapter 18 with the rich man who comes to Jesus looking for salvation. And Jesus tells him, get rid of your stuff. And he goes away sad.
One thing you lack, sell everything.
Right. Yes. And then the disciples say, well, who can be saved then? And Jesus said, with God, all things are possible. With humans, not so much, but with God, all things are possible. And so Charles Cusar, in his commentary on this passage, suggests that that's what's happened for Zacchaeus, that the miracle has happened and God has made it happen that the rich can cooperate with God. Like the blind can see, the lame can walk, and the deaf can hear, the rich can be separated from their wealth.
In a way that is not onerous to them. It's something that they do willingly and joyfully.
And joyfully. So Zacchaeus feels God's mercy reaching him. And since it's a receptive place for him and he's open to that, then the miracle happens. And the outcast turns out to be the one who's observant, which has echoes to some of those other stories,
exactly,
like the tax collector and the Pharisee, for example. Mm-hmm. So lots and lots of ties to the other passages. And then for a special effect, think of a time when you were in a place with a crowd that didn't want you there. Or if you've never experienced that, to imagine being in such a scene. And how would you or how did you respond? How would you feel toward that crowd? And what if Jesus showed up in the middle of it? How would that change things? Well, that's it for today's podcast. Please ask questions or leave us a comment on our website, www.morethanhearing.org, or at our Facebook page, facebook.com/morethanhearing. Send us a tweet at morethanhearing, or email us at connect@morethanhearing.org. If you tried any of these suggestions, or maybe got an idea that you liked even better than ours, let us know what you did and how it went. We would love to hear how using this theory has made a difference in your preaching and worship.
Be sure to look for the show notes, links, and resources on our website. We publish our worksheets on each text, so you can see some of our ideas that don't make it into the podcast. Those also might be helpful or give you a spark. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast using the iTunes, Android, or RSS links at the bottom of the show notes. Or you can point your podcatching software at morethanhearing.org/feed/podcast. You can find us on the iTunes store, too. You can subscribe there directly, and you can support the show by writing a review, which will help others find us more easily. And of course, you can always share the show with your friends and colleagues. We'll be back with another installment next week. So in the meantime,
stay subscribed
and be smart.
The number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
a Whippet Good production.